we are in the midst of crisis is now well understood. Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. Homes have been lost, jobs shed, businesses shuttered. Our health care is too costly, our schools fail too many, and each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet.
President Barack Obama listing some of the problems that lie ahead, listed during his inaugural address, which we have just broadcast here on WNYC. And we've sent reporters all over to gauge the feelings of people throughout the city. Beth Fertig is at the Police Athletic Team Harlem Armory, where students from more than 30 schools and members of the community have gathered to watch Barack Obama's inaugural address. Beth, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
How many people are at the armory?
There were about 7,000, Leonard. They had students from, it was actually 40 schools. Many of them were charter schools, like the host of this event, the Democracy Prep Charter School, but many of them were regular public schools and a couple of private schools as well. So they had filled the Harlem Armory with, you know, maybe 5,000 or more children, plus parents and some members of the community.
Now, 5,000 kids, were they quiet during the speech?
You know, they were surprisingly quiet during the speech. And I sat with a bunch of sixth graders from the Democracy Prep School, which hosted this. And I'd been speaking to them all morning, and they were very, very excited. And as soon as it was over, I asked these three girls, Amina Nias, Anaya Du, and Mabaya Nkase, what they thought of the speech. And I just want to play that for you now.
Okay.
Where is that good? My ears is the one where he was talking about how the different nations and how he might fix it.
What about you, Amina? What about you?
I agree with her. And when he was being specific about how he's going to stop the stuff that's happening in the United States right now, that's the words that caught my ear.
Naya, what struck you?
What struck me was when he said that how his father couldn't even go to a restaurant without being judged. Now he can, now his son can be elected president.
So those were the reactions of some of the sixth graders at the table that I was sitting at, but the whole room was absolutely ecstatic as soon as Obama even took the stage or, you know, went to swear the oath of office, and after the speech, they were just screaming with delight.
Did anyone tell you that he or she was disappointed, couldn't go to Washington and see it in person?
You know, I didn't hear that from kids. I know that the kids at the school that hosted this had originally wanted to go to Washington, and the reason that they did this was because they couldn't. It was going to be too expensive and logistically impossible, so they wanted to throw the biggest party that they could in Harlem. But I did ask other children here, you know, why do you want to be here? What does it mean to be here today? And they said, this is the perfect place to be watching this. If we can't be in Washington, we should be in Harlem, because this is our first black president. And it really meant a lot to them.
It was interesting to hear the issues they considered most important. There's a poll in the new issue of Newsweek, which lists health care as the number one issue that Americans are most concerned about, our highest priority, 36%. Energy second, Iraq third, relations with allies fourth, Afghanistan fifth. It's understandable that the kids didn't list those things, although I'm sure health care is a major concern of them and their families. But I guess what's happened is a lot of people have personalized this presidency.
For these children, yes. They've never seen an inauguration before, most of them, and they've certainly never seen something as, universally declared to be historic as something like this. And it does have a personal connection for them, being that literally all of the children here are either African-American or Latina. And I think that for them, that's certainly the most important thing that jumps to mind, is to see a president who, like them, is of another culture that is not the majority culture, so to speak, in America, and that it says that you can be anything you want. But they did, many of them did say to me, I want him to fix the economy. I want him to do something about the homeless. They see these things on their streets. They see homeless people. They want their schools to be better. They want all children to have a good life. I said to them, what did you think about Obama's line that this is a new era of responsibility and that there are duties we should seize gladly? And a few of them said things to me like, well, it means there's new rules because he's the president. And I said, well, what does that really mean? What does that mean for you? And one said, I guess I should recycle more.
Well, they are getting the message. That's nice. And I hear Sam Cooke singing A Long Time, A Change Is Going to Come. And we have a clip from the president's speech that really struck those kids. Thank you. We're going to play that in just a moment, but I want to thank you, Beth, for joining us today. And here is President Obama on the whole matter of how changes have come.
This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall. And why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath.
Yay!
We're interested in hearing from you, so give us a call at 212-433-9692, or you can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And we go now to WNYC reporter Bob Hennelly, who joins us from New York City Hall, where the city council has just watched the inauguration. Hi, Bob.
Well, actually, it was close to 1,000 New Yorkers with a smattering of city council people.
So were these people who were specially invited?
No, these were people who were paying attention when someone from the city council staffer was driving in one day and just said, you know what, we have a lot of space there, and I hear in my community that people are not going to go because they're discouraged because of the logistics. There was concern, you know, they banned baby carriages, knapsacks. So for people with small children or for the elderly, it became kind of an obstacle. And so instantaneous, within a week of them putting this out online, it became a cause celeb and the place was packed.
And this is a first-time event?
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything quite like it before.
Did you get a chance to speak to some of the city officials?
Well, I think it was today was the day for average New Yorkers to shine. There was just tremendous enthusiasm for what feels like a new national and global moment. They would spontaneously interact as if they were there with the event. So, for instance, when former Vice President Cheney, now there I've said it, was in his wheelchair, there was kind of like a mixed kind of booing and hissing. And so there was a direct response to the events here in New York that took a unique flavor.
Well, thank you so much for telling us about it, Bob. I would have been interested in hearing a bit about the city council's response, because most of New York City politicians are Democrats, and I'm assuming that they're celebrating, although concerned that the city might not get its fair share of the funds that are being allocated for public projects. You'll be filling us in on that, I'm sure, in the near future.
But right now, this is such a unique historical moment. I think people are taking it. It was a tremendous positive rush through the room when now President Obama talked about extending an open hand throughout the world. That really seemed to be, you know, this idea that there is this new moment, this fresh chance, even as the country faces so much trouble at home.
And is there a mood of reflection over the Bush presidency?
No, I think people are just kind of relieved that that period of American history is over. As a matter of fact, when there was a kind of magnanimity, I think, for the fact that Bush, you know, when he left, there was like respect. I don't want to say that there was like catcalls, but there was a kind of collective sigh of relief. But there was also a sense of engagement here. I think people feel now that there's a realization that a nation is ultimately the people that live there. And so what happens to the country is really in the hands of the people that are its residents. And so clearly, Barack Obama laid down a challenge today to America to kind of grow up and reinvigorate itself and rediscover its roots, if you will.
Thanks so much for talking with us, Bob.
Thanks.
We go now to Mazu in Brooklyn. Hi, Mazu. You're on the air. Mazu, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. What do you want to tell us?
Yeah, indeed. I want to make a submission on how impressive and then very, very hope that I feel about the speech of the president.
Now, you're from Ghana?
Yes, I'm from Ghana.
How long have you been in this country?
Oh, I've been here for more than 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So you, the only president you've known is George Bush?
Yeah, the only president ever in the history of America I have had banter is President Bush.
Uh-huh. And do you have a sense, because Barack Obama's father is from Africa, that Africa will be getting more attention in the future? Or have you made such a commitment to the United States that that's not a concern?
Well, personally, I have been following the politics of the United States since I was at a university.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I have been having enough information about how American government have been assisting Africa, not necessarily Barack Obama being an Africa, but I believe the pledge of United States towards uplifting the image of Africa is something which is untenable.
Well, thank you so much for calling us and sharing your thoughts with us. We invite listener calls at 212-433-9692. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org. And we go now to France. Sophie Petter is Paris Bureau Chief for The Economist. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be on it.
Were people paying attention to the inauguration and the speech in Paris?
Well, do you know, I've actually never seen anything like it. And, you know, we've seen some things in France over the last few years, but I've never seen the French airwaves. All have been cleared, all schedules on TV and radio completely cleared to show live coverage. People in offices huddled around TV screens watching it live on the internet. Every single newspaper this morning, it was Obama mania. It's really the most extraordinary atmosphere. Very private, I would say. Not, this isn't something that's happening on the streets. You're not seeing, you know, the crowds that we're watching in Washington experiencing. But we're seeing a lot of emotion and an incredible amount of interest.
Well, racial tensions have run high in France lately, particularly around Paris. You think the election of the first African American president will help alter the racial dialogue in France?
Well, I think that French people are fairly inspired by the idea that, you know, it's possible in America. But I think they're also realistic about the fact that France has got an awful long way to go. And we've had racial riots here very recently. And there are very few figures, minority figures in any leadership positions in politics, very, very few mayors, almost no deputies, that's to say members of parliament, and a number of ministers in government, but not a lot. So I think there's a sense that, you know, it would be wonderful if France could follow the American example, but I think that people realize that France has got a long way to go.
Well, the United States has come a long way as well in regard to France. It was just 8 years ago or 7 years ago that we had people in Congress calling for the renaming of French fries as freedom fries because of so much anger toward France. But French President Nicolas Sarkozy has had a pretty warm relationship with President Bush, and I wonder if that will complicate matters when Mr. Obama is in the White House.
Well, I think President Sarkozy's objective was to try and mend transatlantic relations, that is to say the relations between France and America, regardless of who was actually occupying the office of president. So the fact that he started early while it was during President Bush's term, I don't think that the Obama administration will look negatively on that. It was something that had to be done, and a period of bad relations that had to come to an end. So I think, you know, he has a good relationship with Barack Obama. He met him early on when he was just interior minister. He came to Washington in September 2006 and met him when it was Senator Obama at the time. And I think that there is a good relationship between those two men, even before either of them were elected. So I think that it should continue, and that French-American relations should continue to be pretty good and nothing like they were a few years back.
Well, polls indicate that the French public is thrilled by this election.
Oh, the polls are absolutely, every poll has shown this. The French are extremely positive about Obama, and they have always been pretty negative about outgoing President Bush, or ex-President Bush, I guess we have to call him. And that has been consistent for a number of years. There is an extraordinary feeling of sympathy for President Obama in France, and possibly higher here than any other country in Europe, and that's saying quite something.
And that's because France has had more race consciousness than other countries in Europe, do you think?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think because he inspires everybody, I mean, regardless of your own country's history, and I think the French in particular feel both torn about their own racial history with regard to the war in Algeria, which has been a very painful period in their history, but also much more recently towards integrating their own minorities, which has been extremely complicated in France and has caused a lot of hurt, and there is a lot of anger still in France about how far people of minority backgrounds are really welcome. And so I think that the French have a particular feeling that they're particularly inspired by President Obama. But, you know, I think it goes beyond that. It goes beyond French history to objectively, he is an inspiring figure.
Sophie Petre is Paris Bureau Chief for The Economist. We've been speaking to her in Paris. Thank you so much, Sophie.
Very welcome.